Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, today get your Bibles out and go with me to the Song of Solomon once again. This time we're going to go to chapter number 2. We're not going to review really last week. We may make some comments throughout the message, but really there's too much to say about what we talked about last week. So if you didn't get a hold of last week, part number 1, I would encourage you to either go online, watch the video, you can download the podcast, or if you still use CDs and you want to listen to it in the car, that sort of a thing, right after church, head over to the left-hand side of the foyer. As you exit back there, there's a CD counter, and it's about $5 or $6, whatever our cost is, and you can get the CD from last week. Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. This is Love Songs, part number 2. And in the Song of Solomon really is a love song when you read it. It talks a lot about a man and a woman, and you'll find that there are the daughters of Jerusalem that are in the story as well. And really, it's a husband and a wife and their friends. And this is really a love song about God and his church, really a love song about God and each and every one of us individually. And in Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, I want to start in verse number 4 and read through verse number 6. It says, this is the Shulamite, okay? This is the wife or the bride talking about her lover, talking about the bridegroom, her husband, the one that she loves. And she says this to the daughters of Jerusalem. Really, these are her friends, okay? And she says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now, let's stop right there because I get the image of a surprise birthday party. Think about it for a second. Here's a husband wanting to bless his wife, and so he takes her out during the day, and he says, okay, honey, I've got something special planned for you. Puts a blindfold on, starts driving her, and he's taking all sorts of side roads and different streets so that she won't know the way that they're going. And finally, they make it to a house or maybe a venue, something like that. It's dark out, and the lights are bright. There's balloons outside, and there's a big banner over the front that says, happy birthday, honey, I love you. Mary pulls the blindfold off, and she's totally amazed, totally surprised. See, that's the sort of thing that I picture here. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Verse number 5, she says, sustain me with cakes of raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I am lovesick. Now, maybe today you came into the church, and you didn't realize that apples and raisins could help your marriage. But guess what? Today, from the Word of God, we find out something that can help each and every one of our lives. She's literally telling him what she needs, and she's telling him what she even likes in order to meet those needs. And then goes on in verse number 6, and she says, his left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. Now remember that she's saying this to the daughters of Jerusalem. In other words, she is sharing the intimate and passionate relationship that she has with her man, with the daughters of Jerusalem, with her friends. Now, how many of you men out there would like to have a marriage that is so great, so wonderful, so passionate, so intimate that your wife actually brags about your marriage and what you do with her to all of her friends? How many guys would say, yeah, I want to have that kind of relationship, right? Ladies, nudge your husbands right now. It's okay. Praise God. But men, if you will listen to the principles today, and for all of us, we're going to draw out some principles, not only for the men, but also my wife will come at the end and talk to the ladies. And then as well, if you're single in this place and you're saying, oh, marriage series, and this is all going to be about marriage, I don't know how this is going to apply to my life, I should have just went to that other church or something, we will apply this word to your life as well, because the Word of God is not just about marriage, it's about every part of our life. And it doesn't matter what's being preached on from the pulpit, God can take a word and he can drop it into your heart, drop it into your spirit, and it can change the world that you live in. And I believe that's going to happen for some of you today. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians now. We're going from Song of Solomon now into Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter number 5, we find out some principles from the Word of God that teach us about marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 28 says this. It says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Now stop right there for a second. Just like last week we heard that wives are to submit to their own husbands. Some man can't come into your marriage and tell your wife what to do. She doesn't have to submit to every man. She has to submit to her own husband. In the same way here, now in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 28, it says, so husbands ought to love their own wives. In other words, men, don't you go loving on somebody else's wife.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Because you're going to have problems. You go love it on someone else's wife, the book of Proverbs says you will end up with a mouthful of gravel. Why? Because somebody knocked you out, and that's where you landed in the dirt afterwards. So go love it on my wife. I love my wife. You keep your filthy, grimy hands off.
That's right. Right?
Bible tells us, drink water from your own well. Delight yourself in the wife of your youth. So men, love your own wives. But look at what he says. Some of you men might be saying, well, I don't know how to do that. Look at it. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, men, we know how to love ourselves, don't we? I mean, just take a moment and think about a mirror, all right? You put a woman in front of a mirror, what happens? All of a sudden, all the insecurities come out. Oh my goodness, did you see this? Look at the lines. Oh, the crow's feet are coming off of the side of my eyes. I didn't realize it was that bad. Look at this bump. I hated this bump. Ever since I was a kid, I had this bump. Yeah, honey, don't you hate this? And you're going, what? I don't even see it, but all I see is beauty. All I see is perfection. Girl, I mean, you're looking good. Oh no, I'm not looking. You're nice. You're my husband. You have to say that, right? Any other man heard that song before? I know I heard that song, right? But then put a man in front of the mirror, right? Don't even have to put him in front of the mirror. Mirror could be far ways off and he's walking, right? And here he comes along and all of a sudden. Did you see this? Oh, yeah. Honey, hey, honey, come over here and get a look at this. I knew those push-ups last week did something good, right? So, men, we know how to love ourselves, right? Men know how to shop for ourselves. We get in, we get what we need, and we get out, right? Women take all day long. I don't know if it fits. I don't know if it looks. Men, is it comfortable, right? Now, some men are all about fashion. Some men, you know, they want to get the right stuff, but that's really the exception, as I've seen, not really the rule. You know, most of the times, the guys are all about comfort, right? Why? Because we're taking care of number one. You got to make sure that it's comfortable. Listen, I don't want those shoes. Honey, these are the best shoes. You know, they're new styles. You'll finally be coming into the 2000s. I know the 80s were great, but come on, it's time to get you some new shoes, honey. Well, I don't like those shoes. Why did you like them? That hurt my pinky toe. And I am not walking around in shoes that hurt my pinky toe. And so what do? We go back and we find the stuff from the 80s and the 90s that fit, right? Because we know how to take care of ourselves. We know what kind of food we like. Honey, give me meat, lest I die. I need bacon, woman. Bacon. You know how to take care of ourselves. When we're hungry, we eat. Right? We want to relax, we go take a nap. We want to turn our brains off, go get in the nothing box and just flip through the channels. Wait, it doesn't matter if nothing's on, we will watch nothing for hours. We know how to take care of ourselves. Just go look in some guy's garages, right? You will find how much they take care of themselves by what they spend their money on. All of their interests, all of their hobbies. They got electronics all over the place. They've got cars. They've got motorcycles. They got all sorts of stuff. See, we know how to take care of ourselves. But then we look at the wife and we say, I don't understand the woman. I mean, she's a strange creature that God gave me. And the woman's sitting there singing a song, right? It is not a love song. She's singing, if you don't know me by now, you won't ever, ever, ever know me. Not a love song. Not a love song. Wait, what about this one? Not a love song, gentlemen, not a love song. If she's saying, what have you done for me lately? You are on the wrong track. You throw your hands up and you say, but oh, I don't understand her. And I don't know how to take her. She's so strange. She talks in code, Pastor. And then she gets mad at me afterwards because I didn't pick up the hints. I didn't think she was dropping any. But look at what the Word has to say. Because all we have to do is take a look at how we take care of ourselves, how we love ourselves. See, the principle is love your wife as your own body. We know how we take care of ourselves, so look for that need in your wife and take care of it as you would take care of it yourself. Honey, you hungry? Let me get you something to eat. Honey, yeah, I know we both had a long work day, but guess what? You're tired. Go sit on the couch. Here's the remote. Let me go help out with some dinner. Or maybe you came home and she'd been home all day with the kids. She had dinner hot and ready for you on the table. You sit down and afterwards you say, honey, you've had just as long of a day as I have. I'll go handle the dishes, me and the kids. We got this. You go and you do your sewing thing or you do your crafting. You do your whatever you're doing, you know. Go surf Amazon and do some virtual shopping or something like that. We got this. See, all you have to do is take a look at what the need is and fulfill it the way that you would fulfill it for yourself. It's really, really that simple. It's what the Word of God tells us. And so, Ephesians chapter 5, 28, in the voice, this is a paraphrase now, okay? Somebody looked at the Word of God and they said, I want to see how I could say this differently so that people will understand it better. And I liked how they said, I'll put it up on the overheads for you. It says, so husbands should care for their wives as if their lives depended on it. Gentlemen, your life depends on it. The same way they care for their own bodies. Look at this. As you love her, you ultimately are loving part of yourself. Remember, you are one flesh. I like how the Message paraphrase says it. It says, man, you're really doing yourself a favor when you love your wife. Why? Because when mama's happy, everybody's happy, right? Should have got a big amen on that one. But how you expect to be loved is how you should be giving it. Gentlemen, you should know what puts a smile on your wife's face. You should know her needs. You should take a look at it. You should know her love language. You say, what is a love language? So sometimes people receive love in different ways. Some people say, I love you by giving a gift. Some people say, I love you by spending time with you. Some people say, I love you by just nearness, closeness, touch, appropriate, right? The different ways of showing love. And so your wife might receive love in a primary way. Now you say, well, Pastor, all those things, right? Yeah, listen, gentlemen, let me let you in a secret. She's all five. She's all the love language. You better be spending some time. You better be telling her. You better be giving her gifts. You better be, you know, hugging on her and loving on her. All of those things, words of affirmation, whatever it is. Make sure to look for her needs. And then as you would want to be treated, you treat her. You take the initiative as the man. You say, but wait, Pastor, I'm tired. I just worked a long day. Yeah, but did you know the Bible says that you're the stronger vessel? God made you strong as a man so that you could come home from a long day's work and you could keep at it. And you could take care of the needs of your wife. You're stronger than that. You are strong enough to handle that and to take care of that. And really, you just take care of her as you would take care of yourself. Now, the principle for the singles is the same. It's to love others as you would love yourself. What did Jesus say? Love your neighbor as yourself, right? So you just look for the needs of your neighbors. You say, who's my neighbors? The people that live around me in the apartment complex? Yeah, they're your neighbors. What about your boss? How would you want to be treated if you were the boss? Just look for what that need is. Take the initiative and fulfill that need. Hey, how can I help you today? Hey, you know what? I got you a cup of coffee on my way in, boss. You're doing a great job. And just start loving on people. Maybe it's your relatives. You know, you're over there at the house having a family night at a birthday or something like that. Hey, let me go take care of the dishes with you over here. See, it doesn't take much. It just takes looking for the needs and finding out how you can fulfill them as you would fulfill them for yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, man, let me give you some free advice, okay? If you're looking for hints, she'd been hinting all along. You just missed it. You know how? She's there sitting on the couch, and she's got the catalog out. And she says, honey, do you like this? Let me interpret that, because I speak a little bit of female, all right? What she's really saying is, Valentine's Day is coming up on February 14th. This is what I want to wear Sunday night when we go to the Rock Church service, okay? That's the one right there, honey. Do you got it? All right, that's what she's saying, okay? Now, ladies, you can help us out. Rip that out. Circle it with a heart. Put, I want this for Valentine's Day, which, by the way, is on February 14th. It's a Sunday this year.
I'm getting me some catalogs.
But how would you want someone to love you? Take the initiative. And you fulfill that need. Whether you're married or whether you're single in this place, the principle is the same. Love your wife as you would love yourself, or love your neighbor as you would yourself. Second thing that I see, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 31 says this, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, we just talked about that unity in marriage, that God has done a new thing, and he has joined you two together as one flesh. Now, I don't know what God does, But something happens when you get married. I tell people all the time when they come into church and they start incorporating the ways of God into their life, and they say, you know what, we want to get married, we've been living together. Now listen, if you're in that place today, there's no condemnation. We love you, okay, don't feel like you have to run out of here or whatnot. But they say, you know what, we want to get married, we want to do things God's way. And they say, but we've already been living together and we already know all this stuff. But I always tell them this, it's going to change. Because it'll be different because now there's covenant. And now God will come in and he will do something supernaturally. It doesn't matter if you were high school sweethearts, you guys have known each other forever. It doesn't matter if you guys have been living together for years and have kids. When you take that step and you say, God, I'm going to do things your way, and you get married, on that moment, God does something supernaturally to join you two that were separate now together as one being in Christ. It's an amazing thing. It's a mystery. And so the principle here is not a physical or a natural thing. See, we would read this principle, and the principle is this: leave your parents for your wife. Now we read that and we say, well, wait a second, does that mean I gotta move? Because we're currently living with my parents, right? And that's okay, I understand times are tough and maybe there's not enough money, all that kind of a thing. But if that was the case, then contextually we would have a problem, because at the time that this was written, in the Jewish culture, when there was a marriage, the husband would build a room off of his father and mother's house. And when he finished that house, when he put the last brick in the wall, then him and the whole groomsmen, all the party, would go and they would get the bride and they would bring her back to their new space where they lived together. So proximity wasn't the issue. It wasn't about being with or without your parents. No, it's not a bad idea that if you're married in this place, you might want to have a plan, okay, that, hey, this year I'm going to get a job. I'm going to make sure to make this happen. We're going to save up this money. We're going to live in this apartment. We're going to be on our own. That's not a bad idea, okay? But really the principle is not about that. It's about leaving the ways of your parents behind. And so as men, we have to watch this. We have to guard our homes and make sure that the past is not dictating our future. In other words, you know, we both have wonderful families, wonderful Christian godly homes that we grew up in. Both of our parents, Pastor Jim was up here, Pastor Deborah's here on the front row. They're wonderful. My parents were here in church yesterday. They're great people. They both sets of parents are awesome. But our family did things a certain way. Her family did things a certain way, and it's the responsibility of the man to say, okay, listen, that may be fine, that may be wonderful, you guys did parenting this way, my family did parenting this way, you guys did finances this way, my family did finances this way, your family did vacations this way, my family did vacations that way, you know, but listen, here's what we're going to do. This is where the rubber meets the road, is that we're going to leave the ways of our father and mother. I'm going to leave my parents, leave those traditions handed down from my fathers behind me, and together now, we're going to be joined as one, and we're going to find out what the word of God has to say about life, and we're going to do life God's way.
Amen.
In the same token, men, we have to guard our homes. In other words, don't let one family dominate your marriage, because it can happen. Gentlemen, if your mama is still coming over doing your laundry, you have issues.
Big issues.
And if she's coming in telling your wife how to cook, and you know what, I didn't make chicken noodle soup when he was sick this way. You better put some onions in there and some garlic and stir it 6 times around clockwise in a circle and make sure to waft it into his room so he knows you love him. You know, if mama's coming over doing that for you, you've got issues in your marriage. Because in-laws can literally drive a wedge into marriages. And people have gotten divorces over family issues. And it's very important as men, we say, listen, mama, I love you. Mama, I appreciate everything you've done for me. Mama, stop crying. But listen, here's the point. Mama, I am now joined to my wife. We are one. And now I'm going to take a stand as the man, and we're going to do life God's way. I still honor you. I still love you. You're still mom. You can still speak into our lives, but we're going to make the decisions for our home.
Yeah, right.
Very important. Very important for all of us. Too many people base their future on their past. And we allow the ways and the traditions that were handed down to us to govern moving forward what we do. You know, before we got married, we had to have some talks. Isn't that right? We had to talk to each other and just open up and say, you know what, this is really where I've been. This is what my family was like. We had those talks and, you know, bringing them over and meeting the family and all that kind of stuff was all great. But there came some time, too, where we had to deal with our past personally. things that we had done, things that we had messed up, made mistakes. And I remember we sat outside of a coffee house, and I sat in her car, and we were talking together, and I just shared with her everything that I had done, all of my mistakes, all of my shame, all of the pain, and I just remember kind of just waiting to, you know, like almost like, ugh, what's going to happen here? Is she going to be, you know, just embarrassed of me? Is she going to look down on me? What's going to go on here, you know? And we prayed together in that car, and I really feel that it brought us closer because now we had dealt with the issue. We gave it to God in prayer. It was under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus had wiped it away. And some of you guys in this place, you're allowing the past issues, not just your father and mother, but your past, to cause problems in your here and now, in your marriage. Gentlemen, if you need to delete the number of an old flame out of your telephone,
yeah,
you need to do it. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Oh, but she's a friend. No, she's not a friend.
No.
Some of you guys need to disconnect on social media from people who would bring you down rather than encourage you in your marriage. These are present-day issues that we deal with,
yeah,
that are driving people apart. And so deal with your past. You know, at this church, we have the opportunity all the time in church services. If you need to sit with a pastor, you can do that. We'll open up the Bible together and talk to you about your life and help you to deal with forgiveness. If you need to go to Breaking Free, my goodness, get involved. This 8-week class helps you to deal with past issues and hurts. And don't bring that stuff into your marriage. Deal with it, put it under the blood, allow Jesus Christ to wash it away and wipe the slate clean. And then the two of you together, now that you are joined as one, now you leave the ways of your fathers and your mother. Doesn't matter if every single marriage in your family history ended in divorce, yours doesn't have to.
That's right.
Amen. I don't care if your granddaddy was an abuser and your daddy was an abuser and his brothers were abusers and now you're looking at your life and you're headed down the same path. You can get off of that path and you can get onto God's path. You can do life God's way. But you got to deal with it in the Spirit of God and put it under the blood and make a decision that we're not going to do life, we're not going to do finances, we're not going to do marriage, we're not going to do parenting in the ways of our traditions, the ways of the world. We're going to leave the past behind, and now we're going to be joined together and we're going to do things God's way. For the single people in this place, once again, it's very simple. Deal with your past. Deal with the hurts. Deal with the mistakes. Deal with the sins. Get them under the blood. It would be awesome if you could work those issues out now so that when God brings the right person along, should he? You know, some of you guys have been divorced and you say, I don't ever want to be married again. Well, then it still is good to deal with those past hurts so that you don't bring them into relationships and life now with your neighbors, with your friends, with your coworkers, with whoever is in your life, the people that God has placed you around to influence. Because now you can minister from a place of strength and encouragement rather than out of hurt. God wants to take those things, as shameful as they may be. But you know what? Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast out. The Lord is so loving and gracious and kind. He took the weight of sin upon him on the cross. And now we can bring it to him, following the Lord, dealing with past issues. So gentlemen, those two things for today. Love your wife as your own body. And secondly, leave your parents for your wife. Pastor Jess.
So good. The other side to that story was, yes, he came and talked to me and we prayed about him, but Dan was the good boy and I was the bad girl. And so when we started dating, I thought to myself, I better have a real conversation with this guy so that he can run and run as fast as he can out of here. Because he was a virgin, I wasn't, I had screwed up. God had saved me at that point and redeemed me, thank you, Jesus. But I needed to get it out. And you know why I needed to get it out? I needed to be honest with him. Because I believe that anything you leave in the dark, the enemy can play games with, and he will manipulate you, and he will define your future with it. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to bring it out. I'm going to put it on the table. I'm going to shine some light on it. And you know, my testimony now is not any longer a shameful thing, but it's who I am. It's what I went through. And I believe that I can help other people with my testimony. So if you're sitting in this room going, oh my goodness, I'm a hot mess. Listen, Pastor Jess was a hot mess too. And you know, God redeemed me. He restored me. He restored our friendship, our marriage. And I know that that was hard for Pastor Dan. I mean, when I had told him, he left my apartment at that time, and he was driving back to school.
I could show you the spot on the freeway here on the 10 and the 215 interchange where God spoke to me. No, seriously. I was driving to college. I had a college class that night at RCC, and I was driving up, and I was taking that turn, you know, that big overpass. And it was almost like it was a cloudy day, and there was light shining on the road. I could show you the spot on the freeway where God spoke to me. I've called you to love that woman. And I realized if God had forgiven her, then why should I hold on to anything? It's under the blood. In God's eyes, it hasn't happened. You understand what I'm saying? It's forgiven, and it's under the blood. She's cleansed. She's a new creation. And I'm not going to hold on to that stuff. And now in our marriage, we actually talk about past stuff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't affect us. It doesn't hurt. Mm-mm. Because that old man is dead. That's not my wife.
There's no shame in it anymore.
It's in the light. And he who walks in the light is covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 John says. And we have fellowship with one another.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we did our marriage right. Even though I had screwed up in past relationships, we did not have sex before marriage. We waited. We did it God's way.
Huh? A lot of cold showers.
Wow, I didn't know that. So, in Jesus' name. Okay.
I got a license now.
What? Okay. We're going to move on here. Okay, girls, do you want to hear what our commandment is? Commandment number 2, let your husband be the head of the house. You're like, oh, yay! Listen, it really is a yay. We talked about submission last week. If you weren't here for that, I do not have time to get into it, so get the CD. But when we submit to our husbands and we allow our incredible men of God, right, because we're speaking those things, that we allow them to get in their spot as the head of the house. And if we take our place, God has anointed us and he has appointed us to be in our positions, in our spots. And it means that we don't lord over him, that we don't use manipulation to get what we want. You know, I've heard it, oh, well, I'm just not talking to him this week. Mm-mm, that is manipulation. That is quiet control. That means that you are not operating in the kingdom business. You're operating in your own business. Oh, I'm not giving him none this week. Mm-mm, he did something stupid and I'm going to hold out. You know, that's ungodly. And God says that is not what moves the Spirit of God in your marriages. That's not what allows for breakthrough in conversation and communication. But when we as women, we allow our husbands to take the lead and we take a step back and we see that we have power and that we have influence in our husbands' lives, but we don't control in a way that messes things up in the marriage, and all of a sudden we're the ones ruling the roost and they're going, whatever, happy wife, happy life, I'll just make her happy and do whatever keeps the peace in the house. Listen, that's ridiculous. God has called us as incredible women of God. Who we are is amazing. We as women, we can be in our spots and we do a million things. You know, we could rule the world. I do believe that. Because we can multitask on a level like nobody else can multitask. I remember when I was a mom, I was cooking dinner, I was on the phone, I was running to the church, I was doing a million things. And I remember him just sitting back going, wow, how do you do all that at once? And you know what? We can do it all, but the reality of it is we don't need to do it all because we have husbands that God has placed over us as a covering and a protection for us. And when we allow our husbands to take their positions, then if we step back, then they can step forward and they can love us like we talked about today. They can cover us in decisions for our homes, for our finances, for the family, for the children. If your husband is going down a road that you're going, I just do not think this is where we need to be going, you know what you need to do? Have an honest conversation with your husband. Open up to him. Become each other's best friends. Have safe talk. I can go to Dan and be like, listen, I do not like this idea. And he can say, all right, I'll hear you out. And he'll hear me out. And then I know that he at least heard my heart. Now, whatever decision he makes after that, guess what? I'm going to back him. Because I believe that there's power in that. And I believe that God will cover my husband's decisions because I've done my part submitting and being in my spot and allowing him to be the head of the house. Then guess what? It is all on him. So if he messes up, all right, no, I didn't do it. And you know what? That's just such freedom in that, girls. So be happy in that spot. Be happy in your place. Allow the men to be the head of the homes. Many times I hear women like say that they run everything and then their husband comes in and ruins it. And I'm like, that's out of order. Because that's why you're having a hard marriage, because you're taking his spot. You're not taking your spot. And you see, God has built us and equipped us to do amazing things. My mom always taught us that we are the neck that turns the head. How are we going to turn that head? Are we going to turn it towards God? Are we going to lead it into the presence of the Holy Spirit for our homes? Are we going to be an encourager, a builder, a strengthener for our husbands? When Dan is down, I want to be the one there that goes, honey, I love you. You've got this. We can do this. Let's pray this through. When something's going on in his heart, I want to be the one that he can confide in and that he can feel safe with. You see, that's our spot. No other woman can do that for Dan, but I can. Nobody else can do that for your husbands, but you can. And so know that your spot is very powerful, it's very special, and it's very influential. And you have a choice as a godly woman of God to do the right thing, or you could do the wrong thing. Let's talk about a woman who did the wrong thing. Her name was Jezebel. Jezebel was married to Ahab. Now, Ahab was a wicked man. And in 1 Kings, if you want to turn there with me, it says, but there was no one, 1 Kings 21:25, but there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Check this out. Because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. What are we doing? Are we using the influence we have? Are we using the love they have for us? Are we using it to lead our husbands down the path of righteousness and to come alongside of them and be their helpmate and to love them and encourage them? Are we using it to stir them up and get them mad and riled up about things that we think are important? You see, we are an influencer in their lives. We are their right hand. We are the son. You know, Adam and Eve were amazing, and God took her out of his side to what? Be his helpmate. And I don't want to stir Dan up the wrong way. I don't want to lead him down a path of frustration and irritation. But there was another woman in the Bible, and she was an amazing woman. Her name was Sarah. Sarah and Abraham. They were very special to God. Sarah was a beautiful woman. It says in the Bible that she was just gorgeous. And they were half brother and sister. Now, we will not get into that right now because it's a whole nother story. But they were half brother and sister. They loved each other, but they were going on their journey. And he said to Sarah, Abraham did, tell them when you get there that you're my sister. Now, I am sure Sarah was like, why? You know, like, what are you doing? And it's because he thought that because what was happening and that they would kick him out, that they would kill him, that there would be things that happened because she was so beautiful. And he needed the favor of God, so he thought that's what was right for their family at that time. And what happens? He says, she's my sister. So you know what the Pharaohs and Abimelech did? They took her in as in their harem. All of a sudden, she's now going to become theirs. Oh, she's a sister, I'll take her then. She's gorgeous. And here's Abimelech in Genesis 20. You know what happens? He's sleeping in the middle of the night, and God says to him, wakes him up and says, if you touch her, you die. She's another man's wife. She's Abraham's wife. He's like, what? And God says to him, if you take her back to Abraham, ask him to pray for you, and you will be healed. So he takes Sarah back to Abraham. He says, why did you do this? Abraham says, I thought you'd kill us. I thought that you would annihilate us. And he says, well, listen, she's yours. I don't want to play games with that. But I want you to pray for me. Abraham prays for him. He gets healed. Now listen, everyone in his harem and him were barren. There was no babies being made in his kingdom. And he gets healed, and all of the women get healed. God heals him. So there was blessing that came from that. Then he gives Abraham land. He says, pick the land you want, gives him livestock, blesses him, puts him on course for blessing. You see, here was Sarah. If she would have thrown a fit, said, no way, I'm not doing that. If she wouldn't have followed her husband's lead, what would have happened? Would they have been blessed with land? Would Abimelech have the healing that he needed? You see, what God does is that people that follow God and that walk in their path and that stay in their spot, even when things don't make sense, God covers us. Right. And he turns around those things for bad and makes them for good. That's what happens. So here is Sarah, and she's just an incredible woman. And I wanna read you something, because Sarah, later on in 1 Peter, it says this about her. I'm going to jump to 1 Peter 3, 4 through 6 in the message. So if you guys want to, I'm going to go 4 through 6. It says, cultivate your inner beauty, he's talking to women, the gentle and the gracious kind that God delights in. The holy women of old, talking about Sarah, were beautiful before God that way. They were good, they were loyal wives to their husbands. Sarah, for instance, taking care of Abraham, would address him as my dear husband. You go, what? You want me to say my dear husband? You know what? Maybe you should. Because as you begin to speak life into him, your heart is going to follow what you say. And you know, in King James Version, it says, she called him my Lord. She understood his spot. She understood his authority and how God placed that authority. And there was such freedom for Sarah in that, because then God had her back. He was going to back her in that. And so here she says, my Lord, oh, my husband. Listen, God has something for us women. And then it says, it goes on in that verse, says, you'll be true daughters of Sarah if you do the same. Unanxious and unintimidated. You know, you might say, I'm scared to approach my husband. I'm scared to talk to him about things. You don't understand. He locks up. He screams at me. There's no communication. Have you approached him with gentleness and kindness and a loyal heart? Have you prayed for him when he's rough and he's tough and you don't know how to get through? You see, Sarah was in a rough world. It wasn't about women back then. Believe me, they were just nothing but a pawn. But yet she understood her place in the kingdom. And God called her to love Abraham. And he brought out beautiful blessings from that marriage. And I believe that if we walk in the way that God wants us to walk and do what God asks us to do, the favor of God will fall on our marriages. We will become a shining light and a beautiful picture to the world of Jesus and us. And a beautiful relationship through our marriage, people will be able to see Jesus. And I know that some of you are in this room and you're going, listen, I am married to an unsaved man. I have a husband who wants nothing to do with God. Well, did you know the Bible talks about that too? So let's move on up in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3, again, but we're going to start in verse 1. It says, same goes for you, wives. Be good wives to your husband, responsive to their needs. So it doesn't say just because they don't love God, just leave them alone. Who cares? They're on their own. No, God says, no, still take care of your husband. You've entered into that covenant, so now you're in it. Now do it well. It continues and says, there are husbands who, indifferent as they are to the words of God, will be captivated by your life of holy beauty. What matters is not your outer appearance, the styling of your hair, jewelry that you wear, the cut of your clothes. But girls, please paint your barns, because that will help. That's just for free. But your inner disposition. You see, what's going on the inside is what they see. I can pick at myself, like he said, in the mirror all day long. But it doesn't matter, because I know Dan fell in love with the God in me. And I know I fell in love with the God in Dan. And you see, our inner beauty is what Jesus looks at. Our inner beauty is what the world is going to see. And when we love our husbands the way God has asked us to love them and allow them to be the head, not for us to lord over them, not for us to take their position, but we stay in our spot, we encourage them, and then when they don't do something that we know, because listen, we've got woman's intuition, right? We've got prophet perceiver. I think every woman does. I hear the cry of the baby first. I know what's happening around my home before he even knows. And I believe that that's a gift from God, not for us to use it in a manipulative way, but for us to pray like we've never prayed before. You see, there's such power in our prayers. Girls, hit your knees for your husband. Hit your knees for his heart. Hit your knees for your kids. When you can begin to stop arguing and pushing your way and your agenda and begin to pray and ask God for his way and his agenda. And when you pray for the man of God and you pray for his heart, I'm going to warn you, God will first deal with your heart. And then he'll deal with his heart. But when he deals with your heart, don't be mad about it, because God says those that he loves, he chastens. Because we have to stay corrected. We are lined up with our new Father in heaven, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And when we are in our spot and the husbands are in their spot, it's a beautiful thing. Last verse, Proverbs 27, 15 through 16 in the Message. I love the Message because it just makes more sense to me. It says, a nagging spouse, ooh, girls are like, you did not say that from the pulpit. I hate that word. A nagging spouse is like a drip, drip, drip of a leaky faucet. You cannot turn it off and you cannot get away from it. Listen, lovely ladies, let's not be a drip, drip, drip of a leaky faucet. Let's allow ourselves that when we speak, the men go, ooh, she's wise. She's held her tongue and she only speaks when she knows that wisdom's gonna come out. You see, let's not be that. Let's be in our spots. Remember what I said in the beginning. We are anointed and we are appointed to do our jobs and to be in our spots as married couples. And let's believe God for our husbands and our spouses and our children. And let's encourage them. Let's cheer them on. Let's believe for the impossible in their lives, the things they don't believe. Oh, girlfriend, you can believe it in. You can pray it in. You know the giftings in your husband that he may not be confident enough to admit. But you pray that into him. You speak life into him. He will only go as far as you encourage him. So be his cheerleader. Allow him to take the lead in your home and love him, and God will bless you. He will pour out favor on your families, and he will cherish everything you do, and you will be special to his heart. God bless you.
Amen. It's a good preaching right there.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.